Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Mara. Well, Robbie Williams tickets went on sale yesterday morning and he was in Dublin on Monday to talk about coming to Croke Park next August. And of course, we were there to greet him.
Oh, yeah. How wonderful. A room full. Lovely to see you. And a sitting ovation as well, my favourite ovation.
What's going on? Now, Robbie was talking about why he looks forward to coming to Ireland.
Right, so I got on the plane this morning, just got off at the airport, and I was looking forward to be greeted by the people here and the spirit and the soul here. And, you know, it's great to be able to come back here in a period of great happiness for me. That means nothing to anybody else but for me. And when I got off the plane, I just wanted to shake everybody's hand and go, go on, do that shit that you do. You know, and like me sitting in front of you now is part of that too. It's like, go on, do the Irish stuff that feeds my heart and feeds my soul. That's where I'm at in my life right now, is just excited to be still here, still doing it. You know, walk in a room and it's full of people with cameras that want to ask me questions. And I don't know, it's just all so joyous right now. And hopefully it stays that way.
Such a nice fella. He was talking about his connection to Joe Dolan too.
And because of this story and because of this connection time before, when I was outside at Aviva, I did Good Looking Woman, and it was so much fun. And when you do something like that, which is kind of like, I don't know, a little stunt, it's a tip of the hat and everything, but it's a little stunt, you kind of tick a box and you can only do it once. But I would ask the good people of Ireland if it's okay if I do it again. They wouldn't be bored with me doing it. So yeah, that's a question I can pose to the country. Can I do it again, please? Okay. All right.
Now, we met Robbie Williams at Croke Park. We were looking out at an empty stadium and just thinking what it would be like next August.
It's another one of them things, you know, like I'm 50 now, but I feel like a brand new artist. I feel as though I'm receiving everything in the way that I should have done back in the day when I just didn't because I couldn't for whatever reason. And I feel very grateful and I'm buzzing to be back in here. You know, it's not lost on me, this opportunity and what it means, you know, and the storied historical venue that I will be part of its story yet again at such a ripe old age. I'm very grateful, very grateful.
Also, he was asked about whether he'll play Belfast.
I hope so. I don't know what it is with... I never sit down and question the routing, and I never sit down with my management, and neither do any other bands, really, so I'll clench a fist for Oasis here. They wouldn't have known about the pricing of the tickets or what was going on. Same as me. You know, you've just asked me that question and I realise I'm not coming to Belfast. Why is that? Why is it that if you played the South, you can't play the North? And why is it if you play the North, you can't play the South? Is it a cannibalisation of tickets, I guess? I'm thinking with the promoter's head on. You planted the seed and I will ask questions. And I know there's an election coming up. The people need to know.
Robbie Williams chatting to us at Croke Park. And we can't wait to see him here next August. Now, the question was put to Robbie about the very sad passing of Liam Payne and how young people in the music industry need to be supported.
I think the world needs to be supportive of young people, no matter whether we are in the entertainment industry or not. Seems to be pervasive that everybody's going through something. But not only young people, everybody on the planet right now is neurodiverse, have been through trauma, struggling to come to terms with their childhood, struggling to come to terms with their place in the world. And it's very difficult. And if I turn it back to entertainment, it's very difficult in the grey area to put things into place to look after people properly. And I know there's talks of plans of what to do and how to facilitate this. But the plans of what to do and how to facilitate this come with already having money in place to be able to facilitate these things. That negates the young manager and the young band that are doing everything out the back of a transit van, who don't have the money in place to facilitate. So there's all of these grey areas. But it needs addressing, and there needs to be a think tank by creative people like myself and others get together and figure out what's the best way to tackle this problem for our entertainment industry. Outside of that, we're all going through something. The planet is. It's weird times, but it's really interesting times to be alive too. And there's that, all I will suggest is there's that thing, that overused sentence, and you know, two words, overused, and it's become namaste, but it's never been more prevalent, is be kind. And I was thinking about the be kind thing the other day, is not just about being kind to the kind, but being kind to the unkind too. Just a separate thought that I was having. Anyway, yeah. The tragedy of Liam won't go, hasn't gone unnoticed, and I'm sure that things will be done in his name to make things better. What they are, I don't know yet, but I'm in.
Now, Robbie Williams' film Better Man is going to be released in cinemas December 26th. The film's soundtrack will be released digitally December 27th with a physical release to follow as well. He told us about that.
So the Michael Gracie, the director of The Greatest Showman, came to me one day when he was mooting this idea to do a biopic about my life and said, "What's your spirit animal, Robbie?" And I said, because I was trying to find some self-worth for myself at the time, and I was like, "I'm a lion." And he was like, he cocked his head and he was like, And I went, "Monkey?" And he went, "Yeah, there you go. Here's the idea." So the idea is that everybody in the film is human and you're a CGI monkey, right? Before he got to the end of the sentence, I was in and I was sold. And I was like, "Yes, I'm going to do that." And then I went home and I went, "Get this, babe," said to my wife. "Everybody in the movie's like human apart from me and I'm a CGI monkey." And she was like, "What the f-?" And it was then that I realised that this might be a divisive idea. But as it happens, she's seen the movie now and she's totally on board and completely gets it. And, you know, it wouldn't be me if I didn't take a big awkward swing at something and try to do something unusual. And most amazing thing about the idea in itself is the unbelievable amount of attention that it's got online over all platforms and social medias and blah, blah, blah. And I would hazard a guess that a Robbie Williams biopic, if Robbie Williams was human, would probably garner less attention. So, you know, I'm in the fortunate position where something yet again for me has been bestowed by the universe. Better luck. Or I don't know, because it's a million miles between the film being a film and it being met by the general public in swathes, or, you know, or nobody turns up. We shall see. But all signs so far look good for it being something, you know. I've had to see the movie quite a few times now. He narcissistically says, "They have to twist my arm to see it 9 times. Just depends who's in the audience and who I watch it with. And it depends on what kind of jet lag I've got, right? Where it either breaks me in a beautiful way. And, you know, I grieve and hopefully in a namaste kind of way heal. Or I just sit there going, 'I'm a fucking monkey, aren't I?' With friends and family, you know. My life is... It, for me, it's just been so glorious and interesting, and it's just another one of these things that the Lord has happened to put in my way where I'm just like, wow, let's see what happens.
And I've spoken about this on air before. Here's what I put to Robbie.
Trina Mara from Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. I have come with a request and also a question, if you don't mind. So I would have been one of your earliest fans, I guess, around 1992. I'm giving away my age now. every corner of the bedroom covered in the posters. And then about 13 years ago, got to meet you through radio and got my photo taken with you. And I was delighted with life until I looked at my phone.
It was blurred.
You were somebody, but who knows who you were in that photograph? So if I could request a new photo at the end.
Yeah, have you bought the old photo?
I have it on my phone. I can show you for proof.
We'll have a
can
redo.
Can we recreate it?
We're both
a little bit older and a bit greyer, but anyway.
Yeah.
And I like the double denim, so.
I don't know if you're greyer. I am.
Well, I know. Have a look. So just my question is, during the summer, you had that funny video up where you were going through Hyde Park. I think you were wearing bright pink suit. You had Diamante sunglasses on. And nobody recognised you.
Yeah.
So if I could ask you, if you had the choice of, okay, tomorrow morning you wake up, you either never be recognised by anybody in your life again, apart from, you know, your wife, but as a famous person, or you'll be recognised for the rest of your life, every single place you go, what would you pick?
Well, it actually really did something profound that day when I walked through Hyde Park, and it was literally, I was the most Elton John I could be, you know, the most Elton John and the most public Elton John that you could find. And there was sort of a glitch in the matrix that day where it was like nobody at all. It was like I didn't exist. And I found what it was like to not be famous. And for somebody who is a professional attention seeker, you know, I seek attention for my profession. I need it to facilitate all my creative endeavours. It was terrifying. And I got a profound gratitude for my place in life that day. And I'm like, no, I've got all of these things that I want to do. I'm still incredibly ambitious. There's still so much to achieve. There is still so many wonderful experiences like I'm about to have next year to have an attack. And without, you know, the fame, which in itself can be a mental illness too, you know, none of this is possible. And I have also, at the tender age of 50, just started to absolutely love my life and be grateful for the gift that has been bestowed on me. So, I'm choosing fame.
He also spoke about Oasis, who are going to be at Crow Park the week before he gets here, and if he thinks they'll make it.
I think they're old enough and long enough in the tooth now to understand what they need to facilitate the ability to get through the end of this tour. And I'm sure there will be two different factions, and I'm sure there will be a dressing room set up over here on this side of the stadium and another dressing room set up over there on the other side of the stadium. Mate, listen, I'm not part of their rider or management, but I would think that that was possibly what would be happening. That being said, you know, music has become a little bit vanilla. The entertainment industry has become a little bit vanilla for one reason or another, and I could expound on why I think that is. But this tour next year for them is definitely not that. And in the soap opera of their lives and ours, it's very, very interesting to watch to see, like Evel Knievel, if they'll make the jump over all of the buses. And a lot of people turn up to see the crash, you know. But for music as a whole and the music industry, I think it's an incredible thing that's happening. Also, for nostalgia and for the people that we used to be and for the inhabiting of the time when we didn't have a creaky back and we didn't, every time we go, ugh, and we didn't pee five times during the night. You know, for this, for the people that we were, it's going to be absolutely incredible. And music is healing. And that groundswell and that huge movement of people that are coming to see them in one way or another will be healed. And not totally. I mean, they're not Gandhi or Mother Teresa, but you know what I mean. If you want me to say that, I mean, if it's good copy, then yeah, they're my warm-up act. Yeah.
Ah, isn't he just brilliant? Robbie Williams there, so warm. And yes, I did get the photo at the end. You can see the side-by-side photograph of the one about 12 or 13 years ago that was blurred. And the new one, which isn't blurred. I look way older, but sure, anyway, delighted to have met Robbie again and to welcome him at Crow Park next August. So I hope you got your tickets. It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.